about on Sunday morning, but I'm glad that Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning, is not the only time that we are serving a risen Savior, but every day of the week that we should take an opportunity to think about how good that God's been to us, how that we serve a risen Savior, and how that we have somebody that walks with us, that talks with us, that's there with us each and every day when it seems like that no one else is, or maybe you're going through a hard time, and maybe you call me and get voicemail. I'm glad I've never called upon God and got voicemail. I've never texted him and he didn't text me back, and I've done that to some of y'all before. Some of the guys that text me from time to time, they say, we would call you or text you, but you don't ever text back. And sometimes I forget. But I'm glad that I'm serving a God that don't do that. He's always there. He's always on time. And as we get into Matthew chapter number 28, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. We're going to read the full chapter tonight. The Bible says, and in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Look what it says there about verse number 4, about the men who were keeping the tomb, who were guarding the tomb. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. The angel says, I know why you're here. I know who you're looking for. But verse number 6 says, but he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. I'm glad that even as Christians here today, I know that I was not physically able to walk to the tomb where Jesus was. I wasn't alive then. Neither were you. And I wasn't physically able to go in and see. But you know, Jesus would have been alive even if the stone had still been in place. Jesus would have been risen even if the tomb had never been revealed. The stone was not rolled back so Jesus could get out. It was rolled back so we could see in and know and have a physical picture in our mind that Jesus Christ is alive. And look, even as the women went to the tomb, they went to the sepulchre that day, the angel says, he is not here, for he is risen, as he had said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. He said, come on and look. We want you to see that he's not here. I'm glad that even today that I have complete faith and complete trust that I know that Jesus is alive. But I'm glad I'm still not even just going on what Matthew chapter number 28 says. I'm not going on the fact that the women were able to go in and see. I'm not going on the fact that the angel said that he is risen, he is not here. I'm going on the fact that I have experienced a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that he lives because he lives in here. I don't have to go and say, well, the Bible said in Matthew 28, verse number 6, that the ladies went in and they didn't see Jesus. I don't have to go on the fact that the angel says, come and see the place where he lay. But I can go on the fact that at 7 years old, when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, that his Holy Spirit moved on the inside of me. And there's been times that I have allowed his Holy Spirit, that I have yielded to his Spirit, and I can feel him on the inside of me. I know that he's alive because I'm experiencing it for myself. These angels, they looked at these ladies and said, come and see. If you're here tonight and you have never experienced a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you just won't believe what you're missing until you experience it for yourself. I'm sure even as these ladies, as we see here in a few minutes, the angels instructed them and said, go and tell the disciples. Now look, I can go and tell all the people that I want to, and I'm sure that y'all do too. We witness to people and we tell them about what a relationship with Jesus Christ is and how it feels. And I'm glad I'm not saved by feelings, but I'm glad I can feel saved from time to time. And I know that Jesus Christ lives inside of me and I can feel that. But even you can go and you can share that with people and you can tell people that. But until they experience it for themselves, they'll never have a clue what it's like to serve a risen Savior and for him to be living on the inside of him. I'm glad that I don't have to go on somebody else's word, that I went and that I saw for myself. I have not met anyone yet. Maybe there is somebody, but I've not met anyone yet that maybe they waited till later in their life to come to know Jesus Christ. They waited till they were in their adulthood. They waited till they had done messed up a whole lot of things in their life or whatever. I have never met anyone yet that said, I wish I'd have waited a little later to get saved. I wish I'd have waited a little longer. But the people that I know that have waited later in their life, they always look at me and say, I wished I'd have got saved a long time ago. Because when you experience that and you realize how real it really is, when you realize how good it is to know that Jesus Christ loves you and that he's willing to give his life for you and that you accept that, because I firmly believe that from the time that we're born and from the time that we reach that age of accountability, that our soul longs for that relationship with our Creator, that our soul longs for that relationship with Jesus Christ, and you cannot be fully whole. You're going to have a void in your life and you can't fill it with anything. You know, that's the reason that most people are doing the things out in the world that they're doing. They're searching, they're seeking for something to bring peace, to bring happiness, to make them feel like they're full on the inside. And there's nothing that's going to fill that void except a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't know what you're missing until you experience it. I'm sure these ladies, as they go and tell the disciples in verse number 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. I'm sure even as they go back and they try to tell the disciples, I'm sure some of the disciples go, I wonder what that looked like. Well, I'm glad we don't have to wonder. This lost and a dying world, they don't have to wonder. And I guarantee you that those ladies, when they went back and they found the disciples, look, when they, I don't know if we get it in this scripture or maybe over in Mark, but when they, in one of these places, it says that they left quickly because they were afraid and because they were excited. Now, I want us to think tonight, when we tell others about Jesus Christ, I don't think that these ladies went walking down the garden and said, and I don't think he was, well, Jesus is alive. I think it was like, y'all ain't going to believe this. We went to the tomb, and Jesus is not there. He's risen. There was an angel, and you just ain't going to believe what I... And yet, when we go and tell other people about Jesus Christ, and we say he's the best thing that's ever happened to us, but we're like, you don't want to come to church with me, do you? We're not excited about it. I believe that these women, they were like, you just ain't going to believe what we saw. I've told some people about the church service on Sunday, and I'm like, man, it was great. It was awesome. We had one saved. But how much better would it be if I was, man, we had one saved Sunday morning. There was another soul that escaped hell. There was somebody else that realized how much Jesus loved them. I believe that we could put a little more in to what we're giving back to God. Verse number 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre. Right here's what I was looking for. With fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Look, the Bible even says that they run. They were excited to go and tell them what happened, to go tell them that Jesus wasn't there, that he had risen, that they had seen an angel that they couldn't believe, that they'd even seen it with their own eyes. Verse number 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. I don't know, in my imagination and in my mind, as I look and I see Jesus and they say that here the Bible says, and I know the Bible's true, I'm not saying that, but he says, oh, hell, I wonder if it wasn't more like, hey, guys, what are y'all doing? Hey, guys. You know, I just don't picture Jesus going, oh, hell, you know, and stepping out from behind the bush. I was like, hey, guys, how y'all doing? And they realized who Jesus was. How many times, you know, there's been, look, the angel put them on a mission. And they said, look, you need to go tell the disciples what just happened and what you just saw. And you need to tell them to get to Galilee so they can see Jesus. But before the women can ever even get out of the garden, the Bible says that they were running because of fear and joy. And as they before they could even get out of the garden, Jesus showed himself to them. Now look, so many times God gives us a mission and says, here, I want you to go do this. And we're like, I don't know, I'm afraid. I can't do this. And I just don't know if God's going to help me through. I want to tell you something. If we'll just do what God tells us to do, he will reveal himself to us over and over and over again. And the times that you think you're not doing anything that's any good, and the times that you're thinking that my effort is no good, and the times that you realize that I'm not worthy to do this or whatever, Jesus will reveal himself to you and make it easier for you to do what God's given you to do. Verse number 9, and as they went to tell the disciples, Jesus met them saying, all hail, and they came and worshipped him by the feet, and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. Now look, here's these soldiers that were guarding the tomb. These ladies have done went out, seen the angel, seen that Jesus was not there, went on a mission, seen Jesus, and now here comes these guards that was supposed to be guarding the tomb. Now these guards were professionals. These wasn't just some old guys they picked up off the street and said, come on, we need you to watch this tomb overnight. Here's 10 bucks. I want you to do it. These guys were professionals. They were trained Roman soldiers. He says, now as they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. So they're going to go tell the boss man what just happened. Verse number 12, and when they were assembled with elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Look, they're lining up their story. See, Jesus is gone and they can't explain it. Maybe they can, but they don't want anybody to believe. So he said, so if this comes to the governor's ears, we're going to persuade him. We're going to just talk you right through this and we're going to take care of you. Here's you some money. Verse number 15, so they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now listen, here's what don't line up. Because I want you to notice that any time that somebody is trying to disprove God's word or trying to go against what God has showed us in his word, there's always a hole in their argument. It may take you a minute to find it, but there's always a hole because Jesus is complete. His word don't contradict itself. We may not understand it all. We may not know all the answers, but I'm going to show you a couple right here maybe in this scripture. Now, as I said, these guys were trained soldiers. They were put there. Don't you know that they put the best of the best to guard this tomb? They put the best that there was. You make sure that he doesn't get out of there and nobody gets in. Sure they did. So now as Jesus is out of the tomb and they can't explain it, they come and say, okay, you guards that were guarding the tomb, here's you some money, and here's a story we want you to tell in order for you to take this money. We're going to bribe you just a little bit, and we're going to take care of you, and we're going to protect you. So here's what we want you, that we went to sleep. We want you to tell that you guards, y'all went to sleep, and while y'all were asleep, the disciples came and took him out of the tomb. And if anybody gets word of this and they're not sure, we'll take care of it. Don't you worry. We're smooth talkers. You know what? This world is full of a bunch of smooth-talking liberals. Let me just put it like that. I'll put it just blunt as I know how to put it. And if they're erring from the Word of God, call it liberal, call it wrong, call it whatever you want to. But if it's not with God's Word, it's just wrong. So I should have been more than that one. That's right. But anyway, here we go. So as these soldiers go, and they've been told this story to tell, let's look at one point. First of all, if these guys really had went to sleep, if these guys that had been given the duty to watch this, to make sure that nobody got in and nobody come out, if they had went to sleep for real, they'd have been killed right there. It'd be just like, I can't use me because my guys might sleep on the job, but if you was at your job and you went to sleep on the job and your boss man comes by and finds you asleep on the job or watching Netflix or whatever you do, I better get away from that subject for a minute. But wasting his time, what's he going to do? You're gone. Now look, in biblical times, if they had been given this responsibility and they had fallen asleep on the job, they would have been killed, especially if they had fallen asleep and Jesus was gone. It'd been bad enough if they'd fallen asleep and Jesus was still there. But here they're saying, well, we went to sleep. No, sorry. Because if you went to sleep, you'd be dead. Second point. Now, I was talking with Cody just before church, and he said that he was starting to rest. He had some things going on. He wasn't resting good at night, and he said, I finally started resting, and he said, I'm actually getting to where I'm dreaming again. And that's cool. I slept real hard one night this week. But you want to know something? The nights that I sleep real hard and I get to where I'm dreaming again, I don't have a clue what's going on around me. My wife says that I'm terrible. Ever since our babies were born, I didn't hear any of them cry. I didn't. I never heard a baby cry. Autumn would kick me and say, are you going to get up or not? And then I might get up. And she always says, if anybody ever breaks into our house, that she'll have to be the one to protect it because I'll still be laying there asleep. And that's about the truth to it. But I don't hear anything once I go to sleep. So here's the other part of that. If these guys were really asleep, how in the world did they know it was the disciples that come and got Jesus? They don't know that. So they're lying. I mean, just it don't take just a minute to disprove what they're saying. So as we continue on with this here, they've got this story, and I want you to look in verse number 15. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Look, there's a whole lot of sayings trying to disprove that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, did what he said that he did, and that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's all kinds of things trying to disprove that. And they'll try so hard. You ever been around somebody that would work so hard not to work? And if they would have just put that energy into working to begin with, they'd have been all right. Well, some of these people, it takes more faith to believe what they're trying to get you not to believe than it would be to just say, you know what, I believe God's word. I'm going to go with what God says. And I don't quite understand it, and if it's not for me to understand, but even today we have people that just absolutely cannot seem to find that small measure of faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he gave his life on a cross, that he was put in a tomb, and on the third day he got up again. I guess I'm just too dumb not to figure it out, because I'd rather just believe God's word and say this is the truth and I'm going to go with it. But even no matter what you run into, and you will run into it, and again, I feel just great distress for our teenagers that's going to go off to college, and man, they're going to get some stuff driven into their heads. They're going to be people are going to try to make them question everything they've ever been taught. I pray a whole lot of times. My son's 15. I pray for my girls too, but he's getting to that age where he's going to be making decisions. Not all colleges are bad. I'm not saying that. Not all college professors are bad, but he is in a place that when he chooses to go to college, if he chooses, actually, I pray all the time, God, if it's your will for him to go to college, put him in the right place at the right time under the right people. Because I had rather him never go to college, stay right here, and not make a ton of money. If making a ton of money is going to change who he is and what he believes and all that, I whole lot rather him be just right here, and we'll take care of each other and go right on. Because I don't want somebody making him trying to question everything that he's ever been taught and everything that he's ever believed. And I believe that we have some teenagers, too, in our church that are strong enough to go through that and maybe help witness to others. But we need to pray for them, because even today there's people trying to disprove the Bible. I got to keep moving. I'm not going to get there. Then the 11 disciples, verse number 16, went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Even after seeing Jesus, even after Jesus showed himself to them, there were some that doubted. And you know, sometimes, I know it's hard for, I guess even hard for me sometimes, because I was blessed to be brought up in a Christian home with a Christian mom and dad that from the time that I can remember have been telling me about Jesus. And I've been in church all my life, and it's just hard for me to understand why anybody just can't believe the Bible. But not everybody's been spoon-fed the Bible all their life. And here, we even have some that saw Jesus, and it says, and they doubted. So you know what? It ought not strike us weird. It ought not strike us as, man, there's no hope for somebody who struggles with it. But that should open us up even more to say, you know what? I want to try to help them. I want to love them. I want to have compassion on them. I want to try to show them what the love of Christ really is. Because there's some, even right here, that said they saw Jesus, but they still doubted. And verse number 17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So our great commission is to go and to tell others about Jesus Christ. Look, it says, teaching them to observe all things. Let me back up one. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. We need to go and tell others about Jesus Christ. I'm tickled to death with what God's doing in our church, and been having some conversations with some men in our church who are driven right now, that have a love, that have a desire to let's take this thing outside of this church. I love what God's doing in here, but we need to be doing it out there too. Now, when I say we need to be doing it, God's still got to do it. But I think he wants us to put a little effort into it sometimes. I think he wants us to have that desire to see lost people saved. Let's turn over to Mark chapter number 16 real quick. Mark chapter number 16. We're going to start with verse number 1. Let's read another account of the same scripture that we just read. There's a verse of scripture here that just jumps out at me every time I read this, and I want to touch it, and then we'll be done. Mark chapter number 16, let's begin reading verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. I want you to notice you can go through all four Gospels and you'll see some different details, but a whole lot of the same idea. The main theme was that they went to the sepulcher and Jesus Christ wasn't there. In verse number 3, and they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted. Maybe that might be an Ararat word right there, affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they lay him." Look, they said, "Look, we want you to see where he was laid." Verse number 7, "But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." Mark chapter number 16 is almost a mirror of what we've seen in Matthew. And as we look at this scripture, I want to point you back to verse number 7 really quick. As they go to the sepulchre, look, you got to think about this a few days before this. A few days before this, as Jesus was being arrested and as Jesus was being accused, and Jesus was being lied about and mocked, and they were trying to come up with a way to arrest him, and they had went and talked to Judas Iscariot. And Jesus knows what's getting ready to happen, and he begins to talk to his disciples and say, "Look, you're going to see me crucified. You're going to see some things that's going to make you question everything that you know in the next few days." And do you remember Peter saying, "Oh, Lord, no, many shall be offended, but for you I'll never be offended. I'll go with you all the way. I'll never be offended." And Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Peter," because, you know, Peter was one of those people, he would speak first and then he'd have to back up and retract. So as Peter goes and he says, "I'll go with you. I won't never be offended." And Jesus says, "Okay, Peter, but don't you listen to this. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And I'm sure that even when Jesus looked at Peter and said that you're going to deny me, that Peter probably went, "No, not me, God. Not me, Jesus. I'm with you, man. I am here to stay. I will never, never deny you." And then we know how the story went about and how that people come by Peter and they said, "You was with him." And Peter said, "I don't know who you're talking about." And another come by and said, "You're with that group that was with Jesus. I have no clue who you're talking about." Man, it's funny how everything just changed all of a sudden. And you know, as even the third one come by and said, "Peter, we know that you was with Jesus." And for the third time, Peter denied him. For the third time, I wonder what Peter felt on the inside when he heard that rooster crow. And maybe even as I don't know if I've seen it in movies, as Jesus made on, I know this is movies, this is Hollywood, as Jesus made that eye contact with him, and wonder if Peter's heart just melted and he thought, "Man, how did I deny Christ?" Well, it's kind of the same way that I do from time to time. Maybe not with my mouth. You may not hear me audibly deny Christ with my mouth, but sometimes if we're really straight and we're really honest, my heart, my mind, and my actions deny Christ. Sometimes throughout days, throughout situations in my life, there's times that I deny Christ. And, you know, I want to look at Peter here and say, "Peter, how could you be so dumb? Jesus told you that this was going to happen. You should have known." And it's easy for me to point that finger at Peter when I do the same thing from time to time, when my life denies Christ. And I wonder what Peter felt like when he realized what he had done, and maybe his heart was broken and his heart was melted, and maybe he felt like, "I don't even belong with these guys anymore. I don't even know if I'm a disciple. I don't even know where I'm at with God right now. I don't know what my relationship with Jesus is." But I want you to look what happened here in Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 7. Look what happened. "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter." He didn't leave him out. Even though Peter had denied him, even though Peter had fell off the wagon, even though Peter had just, I mean, outright denied him, knowing that Christ told him that you was going to, and Peter still fell. Peter still, I mean, How many times have you got up on a Monday morning and say, I know there's going to be traps out there today. I know that there's going to be temptations. I know that there's going to be things that come in my life, and I need to miss them. I don't need. And you find yourself on your face, and you go, man, how do I don't even feel worthy to be one of God's children. But then as the angels were telling the women to go tell the disciples, they said, you go tell his disciples, and you be sure, and you tell Peter too. And I believe that those ladies, as they come back, and they said, look, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is risen. He's not in the tomb. You won't believe what we saw. And Peter, they told us to be sure we told you. You know, I believe there was confirmation that come in Peter's life right then that, you know what, I do have a relationship with Christ. He knew that I was going to fail, but yet he loved me. He knew that I was going to deny him, but yet I'm still one of his disciples. He called my name, and I'm glad that in my life, when I mess up, when I fall, when I come short, that I still have a God that loves me, that I still have a God that says, but you're still mine. I'm still going to call on you. I'm still going to be right there, and that relationship is there. All you got to do is trust me. Just follow me. I'm glad that that's the God we serve. Because you know what? I remember when I was first saved, it seems like that I had a real strong desire to win lost. I remember even at 7, the next day at school or the next day that I was at school, the only thing I want to do is tell everybody I got saved, you know, over the weekend or whatever it was. I told you I can't remember the day, so I don't know if it was a Monday or Tuesday or whatever, but I can remember we had a little writing assignment the next day in school, and I wrote about getting saved. And I kept that paper in my back pocket for years, my little story of me getting saved. Man, I was tickled to death about that. I was so excited about that. But then I matured in Christ. Then I got to where I thought that I could do this on my own, that I was a good boy. But you know what? I have come to realize, maybe in my 37 years, that I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, and I'm just capable of falling and messing up, and it's only by the grace of God that I'm not in a mess right now. And when we realize that, we realize, you know what, the only thing, that story right there could not be about Peter, it could be about Josh. It could have been me, but boy, ain't I glad that I got a God that loves me even when I mess up. And you know what, you might be here, you might be newly saved, you might be here, and you might be so spiritually mature in Christ that you just say, man, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to make a mistake. Well, go ahead and just realize you're fooling yourself, because you're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes. And I know the Bible teaches us that we don't take our liberty as a means for lasciviousness, or we don't take the freedom that God give us, and we don't abuse that to say, okay, I can sin, I can do anything I want to because God's forgiven me of my sin. God has forgiven you of your sin, your past, your present, and your future sin. I believe that with all of my heart. But if you got the idea that I can just go live any way I want to because of that, you might should check up with God and be sure where your relationship is. But at the same time, don't feel like, hey, if I mess up, God don't love me. Because if that was the case, I need to sit down. No, I probably need to just kneel down right here at the altar and let y'all have service by yourself. And I'll have to do it again tomorrow and tomorrow and the next day and the next day, because I mess up every day. But I'm glad that I got a God that even here with Peter, the angel said, you go tell his disciples, and you be sure you tell Peter also that I'm alive. You be sure and tell Peter that I love him. You know, and I'm glad that that's the kind of God that we serve. When you fall and when you mess up, don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. And don't say, well, I done messed up. Y'all remember me telling y'all about the one thing that Autumn said, or used to say, that just drove me bananas. She would say something, I'd say, honey, you shouldn't say that. You know, because when we get arguing, sometimes we know exactly how to pick. Gray, if I'm arguing with Autumn, I know exactly what to say to set her off. I know I could set her off just like that if I wanted to. And there's been times I have. But there's been times that she has, and she knows how to set me off, and I'd say, honey, don't say that. You're just trying to set me off. And y'all remember me telling you that she said, well, I've already said it. Can't do anything about it now. Oh, that's one of them things that sets me off right there. That's not the way we should be with God. When we realize that we fall and we come short, don't just go, well, I done it now. Ain't nothing. Sure, there's always something you can do about it. Fall down on your knees. Admit your mistake. Say, God, I messed up. I want my relationship to be right with you. Help me to turn from that and not let it back into my life. But I'm glad we got a God that will allow us to see that he's alive, that will allow us to experience it for ourselves, and that when we do mess up, he don't throw us away, but yet he keeps loving us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all that you do for us. God, thank you for this scripture tonight, and God, just thank you for the excitement that you put into me when I read it, God. I'm so thankful that even when I mess up and I fall and I come short, God, I know I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to be holy, holy, holy. But God, you know the real me. You know that I fall and I mess up and I make mistakes and I battle my flesh. And God, I have to watch out for Satan laying traps in front of me. And God, I'm just so thankful that you still chose me, that you still gave your son to give his life for me. And that when I do fall, that God, you pick me up. You help me to realize my mistake. You help me to turn from it. And God, I pray that you'll always help me to have a desire to live for you. God, I thank you for everyone that's here tonight. God, may we always use our lives, God, that you've given us for your glory and to point others to the cross. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.